thank you for coming out, taking some of your valuable time to listen to a few words from the old man, PJ. Frank discussions, straight from the heart, hip to hip, man to man, concerning the way it is. From Los Angeles, California, the Lucy Coleman Studio, your internet pastor, PJ, signing in. I've been off a few days, but I thought that I'd give you something special in this very special interview, as well as bring you up to date as to what's been going on in my life. Thank you for joining me today for the webcast. So where are you from?
Well, I'm originally from South Central LA. You can call it all it there, you know. It's kind of, for one, I want to give an honor to God who's ahead of my life, you know, because at the end of the day, he's the reason why we are here standing in.
Right, right, right. Most definitely.
Yeah.
So you're spiritual and you're from LA. And you lived an easy life all your life, right? It was given to you on a silver platter. You African American, they envy you all over the world, so
yeah.
Why don't you tell the truth of who you are?
Of course.
What made you?
For one, as I was growing up from at least like 5 years old, I had a mother who they called a functioning addict. That was a woman who had a job, had kids, had 4 boys, a big responsibility, 3-bedroom house. She just liked to have fun. She was still young.
All right.
So, life is what you really make it. And at that time, I didn't have a choice. You know, growing up without the mom and the dad, you could call that silver platter breakfast. Because that's what we did, you know. Me and my, it's 4 of us. So 2 went away and 2 went that way.
All right.
Me and my older brother, we kind of had rough times because I was the youngest, of course, living with my older grandma, my great grandmother, who was just dear to my heart. That was my mother.
Yeah.
With my, you know, because I was still like 3 or 4, and being raised by an older woman. It had my mind. I knew when I got older, that I was gonna always be smarter in a way because I had that old in me.
Okay. So you had the ageless kind of embedded in you.
Embedded in me.
As you were growing up and you knew it.
Yeah.
And you took it.
Even after
your grandmother had passed on.
Yeah.
You had that.
I had it,
which makes you what you are.
Here standing today.
All right. It's not a feminized feminine thing. It's the love that you have for your grandma and then that you got back from her.
Yeah. Right. She took care of me up until I was old enough to take care of her.
Yeah.
That was my baby. We went to church every Sunday. Yeah. We drove in a limo. Because the pastor was a family. Actually, that was our grandma, because my great grandma, they grew up together as kids.
Okay.
And they've been been best friends up until she got her church and married a husband, which was my grandfather. I called him Grandpa.
Okay.
And I was an altar boy. I was that altar boy. I had all white. Every Sunday I was in all white. Except the Sundays where we had to wear purple, you know what I'm saying?
So, y'all was apostolics?
I grew up in the spiritual church.
So it was something like an apostolic, a charismatic church.
Yeah.
Where, yeah, the mothers wore white and the men were in black and Holy Communion covered and all of that.
Yeah, but we didn't wear black, we wore white.
Everybody wore white.
Everybody.
Who was the, if you could give me the name of the person that headed this organization?
Elizabeth Miller.
What was the official name of the organ? Because I can't.
Our church was named Universal Tabernacle of Deliverance. I don't know who was like, you know, who actually, but I know my grandfather, the bishop, and Pastor Miller.
Okay. All right.
Those was my grandparents.
There's where your spiritualness comes from.
Yeah.
So y'all believe like I believe.
I believe.
Like the Holy Ghost come upon you, man. And produce some of the best things that you can ever be. Y'all believe that. Y'all believe that. See, that would make you a brother to me. Because I believe
that. And I had to shake your hand.
See, because I'm telling you, my brother, you know what? It's great what good things God can do. All right, without giving too much, how old are you? Because our audience needs to know the age gap between us. And so that they can keep the conversation within context. How old are you?
I'm 21 years old.
All right. And for the record, I am 69 going on 70. I don't want those of you that listen to this afterward to think that this is a doctored tape. Because this is PJ talking with somebody from and within his neighborhood that he passed by every day on the street. Sometimes some of you folk be going to work and you got nice jobs, nice homes, nice things. Everybody don't have those things. They have to get things by other means. Now, what PJ does, that's me. I talk with people from all over, from everywhere. And I want you to listen to this conversation of this 21-year-old with this 69-year-old and ask yourselves the question, are you having those kinds of discussions with those young people in the community where you live, especially those of you that frequent my website and are always talking about how great a man you think I am? What do you think I spend my time doing? You've been asking me, why haven't I been on the website for almost a week, a whole week? I want you to listen to life. Now let me go back to the 21-year-old. Has your life been easy or rough or in between on a scale from 0 to 100? Where do you see yourself now on the scale in comparison as to where you want to be and know you can be?
Right now I'm at half. I'm at that 50.
You're at that 50.
At 50. Now I done had some days and months as we go back to my great grandmother teaching me everything. And for me growing up in life, I had it hard. As soon as she left me, I was 18 years old. And she just made 100. She hit the 100 and got out of here. And it broke me down to where I felt like I didn't have nothing else. So I started running the streets. I met my friend of mine. We joined a gang. And I was rolling with him for 4 years straight. After the fourth year, it was 2009. August 3rd. He came up to my school to see me because he still had me in that mind to go to school, get your education.
Right.
We could do the gang banging. We could smoke the weed. Mm-hmm. But just go to school. He was my, my guardian angel. He was real buff. He was a bodybuilder. He was real, real big, so nobody would mess with me.
Yeah.
I was calling my brother. Mm-hmm. I got his name tattooed right here.
Right.
Where they, 2009.
Right.
August 3rd. He came to see me, but he wasn't feeling well, so he left my school early. And he would come every day to where the school would let him in to come see it, to come check on me. He left, walked down the street, and they shot him 10 times.
You didn't see it?
Mm-mm, I was in school.
All right.
But I wanted to go with him. I'm like, you want me to go with you, you know? Ooh, he like, no, stay. I'm cool.
Yeah.
He left, and I didn't find out until 11, 12 at night, and he got shot at 10:30 in the morning. They shot him 9 times in his body, and he fell to the floor. And when he realized that, he got up and ran. He played dead. Then he jumped up and ran. Yeah. People in the neighborhood saw the whole thing. They came crying to me, called my phone. They said that boy ran with 9 bullets in his body. For you, for me. He wasn't trying to go. That last bullet, it hit him in the back of the head and came out his face and killed him. And when he left me, I was a pallbearer at his funeral. When he left, I just thought about it. I started thinking. I went crazy, but it took me a year to get over him and my great grandma's leaving.
Yeah.
August 3rd, 2010, 1 year exactly later, I'm walking with my head down in distress. And I looked up and I got hit by a bus. It flew me 3 blocks from where I was standing. And I hopped up. As soon as that bus hit me, I hopped up. And I just had my fist balled up. I was just like in shock. I said, why did you just hit me? And I fell to the floor. The ambulance came. I was in the hospital. Did 2 years of therapy. Got paid. And when I touched that money, all of the motivation that I had, I went and got me a stable job. I started living right. But I forgot the most important thing, really, in life that I've always grew up in, which was my great-grandmother and that church. I felt like I blamed God, you know, as you could call it. But as a spiritual man and the mind that I had, I talked to God. And it's what life is about. He don't punish you. He teaches lessons.
Yeah.
So where you been taught a lesson, you never go to that mistake again.
Yes.
You get better.
Yes.
And now it's me making a whole bunch of money to losing it now to this day. I'm at a 50. Yeah. But I know God has a plan for me.
You know what you just did? You just communicated to what the serious thinking Christian would know as what happens in the spiritual life when you know that the blessings came from God in the past, that those same blessings can come back at you. And so you're just holding on to 50% because life is rough. It don't mean that you just 50% believing in God. It's just that you haven't reached half of your potential in what God would want you to be.
Yeah.
And if that is not talking about what spirituality is, see, I've been trying to communicate that for months to my audience, that it's not just the knowing of a theological bent, but seeing a person live through it. So you're going to take the spirituality that you received when you were that younger man with your grandma with you the rest of your life. You're going to try to hold on to this idea?
Actually, no.
Why not?
Because the thing with life is, as you grow older, your mind grow older.
What does that mean? What?
Meaning it gets to a point where you have to step a level higher. Never look back at what you did and had, and I guess it's the growing part, you know? It's all about growing in life. You have to grow with the age, your mind. You may not grow with your place, and, you know, stuff
so
like that.
So you will remember the things of your
grandma. Of course, you'll never forget.
But then, okay, you never forget that. But then now whose mind are you traveling in as you go through life? Is your grandma's spirit still there, connected to you, helping you?
Of course.
What do you do? When does this reaching out to one another take place?
It's all about believing. I believe it. It does it every day, every moment. Even when I'm sitting doing nothing. Even when I'm just sitting, thinking. I could be thinking, grandma could be in me.
Right. No, keep talking.
Yeah.
Keep talking.
Grandma could be in me just getting there.
Right.
Giving me more motivation.
I'm not in right now.
Just a second. Just let me turn this. I just had to turn that down.
Yeah.
Just had to turn that down. All right. So.
The motivation is there.
So the motivation is there. All right. We live during times where a lot of people would. All right. Are you concerned about what people think about you?
Honestly. At a time like this?
Yes, at a time like
this. It has affected me.
Why?
And it has brought me lower.
Why?
Only because, and that's a great question, thank you, because it's something that I have to get over. How can I say? As I was growing up, my family would always criticize, would always judge, they would always contradict, and it always leads. It's like a globe. It goes around and around and around, and you always end up right there.
Yeah.
With your words.
Yes. I like that. It's a kind of a circular argument. You know where you're headed all of the time, that you're coming right back to where you began. Are you trying to put forth this idea that is all your life consisting of, is going in circles?
Mm-hmm.
Is that what I understand you to just say?
Honestly, a person who criticizes, in my perspective, I feel that a person that criticizes, a person that always just talks about, instead of growing, instead of getting their self to, you know, to that expectation, to that where their mouth is going, I feel like they always end up in the same runaround boat.
Yes.
I've grown up to not have friends. I've grown up to always, my great grandmother's daughter. She brought us in to where she wanted us to be one as family. Like, as she say, if she hit the lottery, she'll buy her own island, so it could just be her family.
Well, I can understand that.
You know, because she just didn't. Because she knew about this world as growing up. And honestly, I could say that she was right. At every ounce of breath that she wasted on speaking, telling somebody about something, she always knew. It was just the way that she kind of, I could say the way she said it, you know.
She knew what?
She knew how this world, you
say
know.
It. No, say
you know
it.
How she knew how this world would affect people that didn't want to listen. Or if you don't want to go to school and do right, this is what they got for you.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
But if you want to go to school and do right, here's where you can be.
Yes.
You know?
All of our grandparents taught us that. That was the significant message. That's what made them our grandparents. I recall my grandmothers on both sides would address me in that very same way. That's absolutely correct.
But I just feel like I love how life can be so tragic and and it can be so special.
Yes, there's some water. Sometimes you get in the studio and your throat gets clogged up. I know it's difficult to sit in front of these mics and to do this kind of an interview.
Yeah, yeah. Just, but it's adjustable, though.
Don't worry. This isn't going over to the FBI or anything. Anyhow.
Yeah. But I what I mean by that is it can be so... To where I was growing up to believe God blessed you with a blessing and he blessed you with a curse. Only call curse because you're going to have rough times. Don't think that life is just going to be perfectly beautiful. Of course not. You're going to slip and fall and bust your ass.
And that would be the curse.
And that would be the curse. You could slip and fall and bust your ass playing basketball. Hurt yourself for a couple days.
That wasn't the curse when I was a young man your age coming up. That wasn't the curse for us.
What was the curse for y'all?
The curse for us was telling them the truth. Because in the generation that I came up as a young man, no one would have believed it. Mm-hmm. So you didn't speak it. You wouldn't dare speak it.
Mm. See, in my generation... It was kind of like that, but nah, to where we had people who grew up in your generation that raised kids in my generation that kind of got to embed it in us, that kind of got to put it in us a little bit or a lot of bit to
a little bit or a lot of bit. I like that.
Yeah,
that makes sense.
To where we kind of can speak on it, make a joke about it, to where somebody has said again to somebody else, they would love it, but they not knowing it. That was a message.
Yeah, all right, I got that.
And
that's all right.
Yeah.
You know what? I'm all right with that. Hey, damn. I mean, I'm all right with that, man. And you know what? Yeah, see? It's like my real listeners, they just received the message because I heard it and got it. Now, what the heck you think they're going to receive? That's why. I wanted you to come and sit down so that my listeners can...
I feel. And that's what I needed to share with.
Yeah.
Because that just motivated me to kind of get my life right because I'm not all perfect, even though I went through it and been through it and going through it now. Mm. I still got some learning to do and I still got some kind of growing to do, you know?
Yeah.
Just to get back to where I was and better and stay there.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Maybe not fall off like, you know, like the fall offs. Because we have the fall offs.
Well, you know. All right, maybe a group of people might say we got the fall-offs. Maybe our parents before us might say we got the fall-offs. But if they haven't, the term is called empathy. If they have not walked in the same footsteps that you've traveled in, they can give it any kind of name and justify its existence. That's what living in a democracy does to you. They give it a name, Republican, Democrat, and then they justify a feud that will never be fought fair. But only a fool would get involved in that, as my audience has heard me say for years. So why would anyone Why should anyone invest in your generation, your population, without thinking about extermination of your species? Why should anyone care? What do you have to offer? I know that's heavy, but you got
to
think about it.
We have to have a lot to offer to want to get there. We should want it. We should want it as bad as the next person to the next person. I feel as if it was handed to us, we would take it. But in my generation, if it was handed to you, you wouldn't even take it. But if it was left there, you would take it.
That's total disconnect. That's total disconnect from anybody's theory but your own.
You think so?
I know so. That's what you just said. And you know what? I understand it. Now, and I love you all the more for it. I'm not saying that in my heart I may agree with everything you mean by that. I'm saying that I love you enough to say, hey, I feel what you're saying. Instead of castigating you as some other kind of something or other. I understand. You ever get a chance to really talk to anybody outside of your generation about how you feel, man?
Honestly?
Honestly. That's why I asked the question.
N-O, man.
What in the hell are you doing with all of this information and energy, man? What are you doing? What are you just going to do?
I feel you. I feel where you're coming from. Because that's where I feel like I can open up here, like to where if I'm talking to the world.
Yeah.
If I'm talking to numerous people.
Yeah.
It's there, man. But I just get to the point where I get in the same boat as other people, just down and sad and, you know, going through the struggle. You know, all these rappers, they got all this money, but what are they really doing? They struggling. They having problems too, damn it.
Yeah.
But so, you know, I feel like we are going to go through. We are going to go there. Yeah. And it's just that we all can determine where we're going to stay for the rest of our lives. We can go through the struggle to build to the top.
Yeah.
But when we get that house or that apartment that we just going to get and stay, say we're going to stay here forever. Raise our family here.
Well, that's comfortable. Some people do that. Yeah. It's called arriving at a place of comfortableness. Would you say that opposed to my generation that believed in that? Because I believe that we could arrive at a state of comfortableness that I would not require or need anything else. Though I'm not possibly like you are. And what I mean by that is not just in skin color or national heritage. I'm talking about, to put it plainly, and I don't want to offend my very spiritual Christian friends when I say this, and let me say it right. Those of us that are connected through nature the way we are as a species, I'll put it that way. Okay. Would you run? Tell me about the tribe that you run with. What kind of, you're a product of the inner city. Now, how do you know the faction to run with?
It's kind of where you stand.
Or what do you mean?
Where you've got comfortability at, to where, okay, I'm going to stay in this area. And I'm going to stay in this area, and I'm going to go around, and I'm going to meet all these people that's from this area, and I'm going to make a vow that I'm going to protect this area. And that's where I, that's where we set our tribe, I guess you can say, to where we're most protected. Even if we gotta distribute substances to make money.
Why would you feel that way since you have the police and other national people to protect you from anyone that might harm you? I don't understand. My tax dollars are going to all of these services to help us poor degenerates in the community that need to helping him. Why would you have to do that when they are out there doing that for us? I mean,
well, I feel like everybody is working for somebody. So, in that token, and what I'm saying is, the black and white, the police, they're under something. They're under somebody, and they're always there to do something. You know, they can help. That's what their logo is, I feel. But the police is with everyone. They're selling drugs. They're killing. They're doing everything that we're doing. Having sex with prostitutes and freaking eating donuts that we eat. I feel like we are all the same. Police to everything.
Strong words. All right, okay. How many of your crew would agree 100%? How many of the people in your life that you've met that's going along in your age bracket now? I mean, some of these people you've known from grammar school, middle school, graduation, high school. How many of these do you think would agree with you 100%, or where would the agreement be?
Well, as
you progress on up to the age that you're in,
as I can compromise it to where we all have an opinion. So, but my knowledge, to my knowledge, and to my scale of 1 to 50 to 1 to 100, I feel like 70 or 80% will be right there with me, right 100 with me. To make it 100, they could be 78% with me, but that's to where my 100. You know, people, because people all gotta go through a struggle, and that's why we speak to the here today, is to go through a struggle to grow. Go through a struggle to grow. You are never gonna get anywhere if you haven't struggled. You will never succeed if you didn't start. And starting from the bottom takes you to the top.
Yeah.
If you go to the bottom of something, you are going to climb. You're not going to just stand there. You're not going to just sit in the dark and, you know.
Right, yeah.
So I feel like everyone should be 100 with me, because I'm speaking both terms. I'm speaking good and bad. I'm speaking to everyone that don't think that you are not nothing, and don't think that you're greater than someone. See, that everything can go both ways, you know? We have a good, we have a bad, we have a, yeah, you know, we have this, we have peanut butter, we have jelly. So it's like, come on now, what are we going to do without these things? What are we going to do without structure? What are we going to do if somebody that's been there and that's there to where in their life they can look down to someone that can help, that they can help? Why wouldn't that motivate you?
What about the people that might be listening to you right now and don't have the foggiest idea of what you're talking about? What if they have no connect with what you just said at all? What if they might say, see, did you just hear what he just said? What did he just say? He couldn't tell you what he just said. What would you say to that crowd?
I would tell that crowd, first I would tell the crowd to get a big old box of Q-tips and clean their ear out. And clear the ear out.
What would make you think that they didn't hear you the first time you said what you said?
Because
why would you think that their ears are stuff? Why would you think that there is a pre-method of a particular kind of people to have their ears cluttered with human wax of time? Because you guys are on the scene. What makes your? I want to know what makes your generation so special. What makes you feel like everyone should give in to you? And I know what it is, because I give in to most of your generation. I give in to you. I like that part. I like that part of you. Now, but what about the other 99% of you that I never see, that everybody else sees? How do you get through all those years by using the purest form of wisdom?
Well,
hey, that's what I'm trying to bring out. Hey, and listen to this. People that hear this will know why I'm saying this. The group that I used to hang out with taught me for years that they believed in exactly what I'm doing, because what I'm doing with you is what spiritually our God has told us to do, to love one another. That's the only thing that prompted this conversation. I'm not paying you no money, am I? You ain't paying me no money, are you?
No, this is all.
This is, see what I'm talking about? This ain't about doing nothing, because any other clown can shut my own website down, so I'm not even worried about that. That's up as long as the Lord let it be up. But anyhow, that's beautiful, man. You got ambition.
Oh, thank you, man. But we all have. I see to where I seek for more. I wish there was a book. Well, there actually is a book. It's called The Bible. If you want to actually, if you don't understand what I'm saying, speaking, I suggest you go open up the Bible, because the Bible teaches you how to fight. It teaches you how to get through this crummy world. It teaches you how to pray. It teaches you how to believe. It teaches you how to walk. It teaches you how to talk. Basically, it just teaches you everything. And I feel like we all didn't get that in our life, you know, or we all didn't take it. Okay. We all didn't accept it, you know?
Yeah.
Some of us had no opportunity. Some of us had the opportunity. Some of us had the opportunity right in our belly, in our plate, on our plate, in front of us, just waiting for us to, you know? Because I feel like if you read the Bible and you let the Bible teach you,
yeah,
that could be your... Some of us out here want a perfect world. Some of us out here want a perfect world. You seek a perfect world, all you do, I'm not telling you to be spiritual, I'm not telling you to be Baptist, but if you seek a perfect world, believe there's a perfect world.
Yeah.
Because anybody could tell you nothing is perfect. But if you know and if you believe, you read that Bible.
Yeah.
Read that Bible. Yeah. And I'm not telling you that I can tell you the Bible. I didn't say all that.
Well, you know, yeah, but I think that would be my job. Yeah, because I know.
Yeah.
About what you're talking about. Because, see, I love that same Bible. That same Bible you love. I love it like that. What, you think I grew up in something different?
Of course
not. We just grew up at different times, man. That's the only religion we got, man. That's the only religion we got, brother.
Yeah, for real. See,
and that's beyond time. Beyond time. It's been good having this conversation with you. This, I hope, is just the first of many. As you come back to the mic, if you want to bring a discussion to the floor, you bring it. Roll it off of me. I'll pray about it.
That's a pleasure, man. That was a pleasure, man. Hey, damn. Yeah. I thank you for that, man.
Well, I appreciate it. Because
I'm just a man. Look, you see all these tattoos, man. I got crazy old tattoos of trees of weed. And yeah. I done grew up, man. I done grew up in the fast life, man.
Yeah.
But I can also, you know, come on. Me being a gang member, because I don't bang anymore. I don't go out. I don't be in the streets. Where you from? That ain't me no more. I don't be fighting. I don't carry no guns anymore. That's not me. I just had a baby, and I just want better for her. Wow. And I had a baby girl, too. So that means I got to be a father.
Yeah.
Because to her, I have to give her the world. I have to show her everything. See, this knowledge that I have, now that I have a seed, now that I have a child,
hey,
I can put it on her.
I'm going to ask you a question, and this may put
give her everything I didn't get.
This may put you put you on the spot. You don't have to answer it. What if I told you if I wanted to get back into pastoring, one of the qualifications of the members of my new church, they would all be like you and your ladies and your generation. And let me give you guys, wait a minute, a true understanding of who Jehovah is and what he's all about. What do you think?
Honestly, we could put that together, man. I know music. I know people all over this place. I know musicians.
I'm not looking for no show tie. Would you admit that the spirituality of your generation is fading quicker than it did in mine?
Yeah.
And I am asking you this question. You're going to pass on that spirituality to your daughter. You obviously have. Would that kind of connection, and I'm not just talking about me, because I may be dead in 6 months, but this idea has to go on in other people that hear it. Would a person of my spiritual caliber that has the information that I have, would that person be good enough for a generation to help that generation maintain its spiritual connection with God Jehovah?
Yeah.
And that go deep. Go deep in us.
Yeah.
Because that's what we're going to need. That's what makes you very philosophical. Brother, of all the things that you've spoken about, look at this. I almost lost. Wait a minute. Let me see how many minutes. Oh, my goodness. 1 hour. No, we haven't been talking that long. Wait. Wait a minute. Let me look at this. Oh, there it is. 44 minutes. Okay. I knew it wasn't a mile. So how do you, how would you, and then I'll end up with this last 15 minutes, because it's been good. We've had a few moments here. I'm going to leave everything just the way it is. I'm not editing anything. What would you like to say to your listening audience if you would like to leave kind of like...
Yeah.
An imprint of who you are.
To my listening audience.
Oh, and like wait a minute, he said before, tattoos, yes. He has tats. Yes. He has paint.
Man.
All over him.
That's gonna be here forever.
Get the Yeah, and so he's a product of Los Angeles.
To everyone that's out there, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. It is all right to know God and love God, because at the end of the day, we will all that love God and know God from the bottom of our hearts, because that's where he looks. He know we're going to make mistakes. He know we're going to struggle. He knows. That's what we're here for. He's testing us to see how well we make it in heaven, or how well we want to make it in heaven. Because heaven is a place of all perfect, of all love, and you'll be there for eternity.
Yeah.
You'll live with everyone out there that you loved and cared for, and they left. And when you finally get up there with them,
yes,
you'll never leave them.
Yes.
So don't be afraid.
Yes.
And that's coming from the bottom of my heart.
Yeah. Hey, man, that's all I taught for 30, 40 years in the church that I pastored. That's all I was trying to get out. What you just said, and just to know that spirit just passed on, man, something beautiful. And it kind of like makes this Lucy Coleman studio worthy of a visit, see? That's what I love. Well, now back to earth. My listening audience, I want to thank you for being patient. I told you that my agenda is but one. If we call ourselves Christians and we close ourselves away in our classified buildings, wear our suits, which are nothing but personal body coffins, if we continuously make the speaker of our spiritual lives our mentors, our pastors, but thereby becoming someone else's king, if we continue to do such crazy things without thinking to what God wants us to do. God said, and then I'll end up on this. He says, go out on the highways and the byways and to compel them to come. You are not going to compel anyone to come to the God that you say that you love if you are repelled by them. Think about that. Think about that. Thank you for coming to my website. I will be, Lord willing, doing more of these webcasts. You will hear more of the same. And I'd love to hear from those of you that frequent in. Thank you, my friend.
No problem. It was a pleasure.
Oh, pleasure having you
it was a pleasure,
in this here place. All right, my brother.
Good man.